Chapter 5. Crime Stirs Atlanta. Following the news that Mary Fagan had been murdered in the basement of the National Pencil Factory, the city of Atlanta was stirred as it had never before been stirred. The famous Grace case had created excitement. The trial of Mrs. Callie Scott Applebaum had been of profound interest, but the mystery surrounding the murder of Mary Fagan and the atrocity of the crime combined to make it a sensation which lasted not only the requisite 9 days, but remained a mystery for months, a mystery in which the final chapter may never be written, a mystery which will always make the case the most famous in the criminal annals of the state of Georgia. The name of Mary Fagan was on the lips of all on the Monday morning following the day of the murder. The papers got out extra after extra. They were snapped up by the thousands. It seemed as if the public could not read enough of the horrible crime. The result was, the Atlanta Police Department was swamped with rumors, most of them extremely sensational, which their originators claimed would lead to the discovery of the murderer. While the first wave of public opinion was unanimous in declaring Newt Lee the guilty man, reports of other suspects resulted in the arrest of another man before that first Sunday was ended. He was Arthur Mullinax, a former streetcar conductor and an alleged friend of the dead girls. Mullinax was arrested on the statement of E. L. Centel, an employee of the C. J. Camper Grocery Company, who said that he saw the man with Mary Fagan at 12:30 a.m. on the morning of the murder, walking along Forsyth Street near the pencil factory. Centel, in his statement to the police, said that he had known Mary Fagan for years, and that he was positive she was the girl he saw on the street, and more startled than ever when, on her approach, he recognized her as the little Fagan girl. He said that, as the couple passed them, he said, "Hello, Mary," and that she replied, "Hello, Ed." Mullinax was easily apprehended by the police, and late Sunday evening was taken to the police station. Here Centel positively identified him as the man he said he saw with Mary Fagan. A crowd was at the police station when Mullinax was taken into custody, and several threats were made on his life, a typical instance of the point to which public sentiment had become inflamed. The suspect vehemently denied his innocence to the police, declaring that he knew Mary Fagan only by sight and that he had met her but once at a Christmas entertainment. The officers decided to keep him on suspicion, and he was lodged in a separate cell. On Monday, another suspect, J. M. Gant, was arrested at Marietta. Several suspicious circumstances pointed to Gant as knowing something of the crime. He was known to have been acquainted with Mary Fagan. He had been at the factory Saturday afternoon. He had formerly worked at the factory and was familiar with the building. Gant's sister, Mrs. F. C. Terrell, was located by officers at her residence, 28 East Linden Street, where she said Gant had stayed Friday night. She gave a conflicting account of his movements after that. Officers decided they were on the right track. Monday morning, Gant was arrested with a warrant charging him with being suspected of the murder of Mary Fagan, just as he stepped off the car at Marietta. He was brought to Atlanta and joined Lee and Mullinax in the station house. Gant told a straight story, admitting that he had been discharged from the factory several weeks before, that he went back Saturday to get some shoes he had left there, that in going to Marietta at that unfortunate time, he was merely following out some plans he had suggested to his mother many days before. On the morning following his detention, Gant sought to get out of jail by applying for a writ of habeas corpus, but before it could be acted on, both he and Mullinax were released on May 1st, following testimony at the coroner's inquest, by which each established a clear alibi. Mullinax was released largely owing to the testimony of his fiancée, Pearl Robinson, who came forward and said she was the girl seen with him by Centel. Gant was later subpoenaed as a witness at the trial, while Mullinax was discovered to know so little about the case that he was not even summoned as a witness. The rumors in regard to Gant and Mullinax were just two of many that the police had to run down, explode, or confirm during the days following the murder. Tales of a girl being kidnapped in an automobile Saturday morning and drugged, of a girl with a red dress who said she knew something about the crime being seen at Marietta. Rumors and rumors of rumors had the police and detectives well nigh frantic. Not the least of them resulted in the arrest of a man in far-off Houston, Texas, Paul Bowen, a former Atlanta boy who knew Mary Fagan. Bowen succeeded in providing an alibi on May 7th, the day after his arrest, without having to make the long trip back to Atlanta. It is interesting to note that owing to the warm condition of Houston politics at the time, Bowen's arrest was seized upon as an excuse for discharging half the detective force of that city. The police received alleged aid on the Monday following the murder, when it was announced that the pencil factory authorities had retained the services of local Pinkerton detectives to aid in running down the murderer. During that Monday, April 28th, there were so many rumors afloat that real progress on the Fagan case was but little. During the morning, the coroner's jury met with Coroner Paul Donahue in the metal room of the pencil factory and was impaneled. It immediately adjourned after viewing the body and the scene of the crime. An interesting discovery of the day was that of blood spots on the floor of the metal room, which led detectives to think that the Fagan girl was killed there and not in the basement, as was at first supposed, and that her body was then dragged to the basement. This was but one of the many theories advanced as to how and when the little girl met her death. So ended Monday, April 28th, with three suspects, Lee, Gant, and Mullinax, in jail, and the men who were later to be the chief actors in the drama still at large. The arrest of one of them was to follow before 24 hours had passed.